so good to be in church. It's so good to be able to be in church. And I'm so glad that all of you are here this morning. We also welcome any of those that might be watching by live stream. We welcome you as well. And we're going to have a good time. We already had a good time, but we're going to have a good time in the Word of God this morning. Amen. Amen. How many of you love the Word of God?
Amen.
Man, it's valuable. It's the most valuable thing we have in our lives. As a matter of fact, let's take just a moment to pray over our hearts so that we can receive the Word of God properly. Father, we value your Word above all. We thank you for the Word of God that has changed all of us, that has opened our eyes. God, today we pray over our hearts that we would be like the good soil that received the Word of God and produced fruit, Father. And I pray that we would have ears to hear this morning and to receive the Word of God by faith, and that it would produce tremendous fruit in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God. How many of you know it matters how you receive the Word of God? It's very important how you receive the Word of God. If you receive the Word of God with faith and reverence and expectancy that there is power and there is life in the Word of God, then it has the ability to change you. It has the ability to change your mind, has the ability to change your heart. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but the older you get, the harder it is to change. Anybody else notice that? The older you get, the harder it is to change, it seems. I don't know if we just get set in our ways, I guess. But we still need to change, and because we're constantly being shaped into the image of God. Amen. So the Word of God has the power to do that this morning. So we're going to receive the Word of God by faith. Amen. We're going to finish up our series this morning on fasting and prayer. I want to talk to you about receiving clear vision. And the fast is always a time that I believe we can receive clear vision. Of course, we're not talking about physical vision. We're talking about spiritual vision. I know that me personally, since the time I was very, very young, I've had to wear glasses or contacts in one form or another. I remember in kindergarten that I would get up out of my, and didn't know there was anything unusual about this at all. Never crossed my mind there was anything unusual about this, but I would get out of my seat and I would walk right up to the chalkboard like this and write down what the teacher was saying, and because I couldn't see it from where I was sitting. Never crossed my mind that was abnormal. And one day my mom got a call and said, I think you need to take your son to the eye doctor. He may have a little problem. And so I found out then that I needed to start wearing glasses. Now, this was tremendously detrimental to me because my hero was Rambo, and Rambo did not wear glasses. I could not see Rambo with his machine gun and bandana, wearing glasses. So I was very upset by that. I think I even said that to him. I was like, why are you so upset and crying that you have to wear glasses? Because Rambo don't wear glasses. So I was very upset. But I did notice that when I put those glasses on, everything became clearer. And I could see. And to this day, I wake up in the morning and I put my glasses on, but my glasses are not as good as my contact lenses. I like to put my contacts in so I can see clearly, and everything just sharpens up. And some of you, without realizing it, are like that little kindergarten boy walking around and doesn't have any frame of reference, so doesn't realize that what you are actually seeing is extremely fuzzy and extremely blurry. And what fasting has a way of doing is sharpening our vision and giving us clear vision of what God wants. I look around this room, I see a lot of you wearing glasses this morning. Matter of fact, some of you got contacts in that I can't see. So you know what I'm talking about. If you were blessed to be born with 20/20, you can't relate, okay? But for those of us that weren't, we know the difference of it being fuzzy and then it going from fuzzy to clear, and how refreshing that is. And fasting has a way. Listen, we have spiritual vision as well. And just as we need to see clear in the natural, and sometimes we need assistance to be able to see clear, we need clarity in the spirit to see some things that God's trying to show us. Sometimes God's trying to show us things, but it's not clear to us. Well, fasting has a way of clarifying and making clear those things that God is trying to show us. Have any of you ever lived in a time of your life where you felt aimless and you had no direction or you had no purpose, you didn't know what you were doing? Some of you are like, That's me right now. That's how I feel today. But a lot of us, when we came, say, for example, out of high school, that's a huge transitioning time, right? You come out of high school, you're trying to figure out, what's my purpose? My mom and daddy ain't taking care of me anymore. You know, I've got to figure this thing out in the direction that I'm going. And I talked to a lot of high school students, and as a youth pastor many years ago, talked to a lot of high school students, is a time where they can feel a little bit of they can feel aimless in a way. And what is my purpose? Why am I here? Where do I fit in? What does God want me to do? If you've ever been in a time like that, it can be very miserable, because human beings were not designed to live without a crystal clear purpose and mission and vision for why they exist. It's one of the things that I believe we have to have. I remember back to 2020. See, every year that I've been in ministry, I've always started the year out with fasting and prayer. And the reason is because I have to have a vision and a focus if I'm going to lead. Like, I can't lead people if I don't clearly know where we're going, right? I mean, I have to clearly know what is supposed to happen in this church in 2025. And if not, how can I get up here and explain to you, hey, guys, this is where we're going. This is where we're headed. Okay, that's if I'm a pastor, but what if I'm just a father? A husband. I still need to know the direction for my family, right? I need to know, what is the purpose? What are we doing this year? Okay, what does God want to do? What things are significant? What changes are happening in my children's lives, in my spouse's life? What's God wanting to do in me? Like, I still need those answers, or else I'm just kind of walking around aimlessly. And for me, I remember back to 2020, when all this stuff started happening with the coronavirus, the fast was different that year. The fast that year was a time where I did not get any vision or any purpose. And I remember being very frustrated about it, so that I took some weeks after. I said, well, maybe I just didn't do my fast right, you know, and I need to spend some more time with God. But the only thing I kept getting when I would fast was, I just want you to spend time with me. This is what I kept getting as I would pray. Just don't worry about the vision of the church or the direction of anything when you come. I just want you to come and spend time with me. I can't tell you how hard that was. It sounds very simple. It sounds very simple, but it was extremely difficult for me to not focus or worry about direction in any, or purpose in any area, and just go, I'm just going to sit at the feet of Jesus. And the scripture he gave me was in Luke, where Jesus came to visit Mary and Martha. You know what the story I'm talking about? And Mary's running around. She's very busy. She's doing a lot of stuff. And Martha just calmly sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then Mary's upset because of how peaceful she is, just not seeking anything, just at the feet of Jesus. And, you know, she gets upset with Martha, and really she gets upset with Jesus. And eventually Jesus just tells her, she says, listen, Martha has chosen the best. She's chosen the best way, just to sit at the feet of Jesus. I had to learn that lesson in 2020. But still, I didn't like it, because I like to have purpose. I like to have vision. Eventually, God had to show me that this is your purpose for this year. Just sit at the feet of Jesus. You don't have to have a vision for anything else. But every year, during the fast, I get a little bit of direction, a little bit of focus of what I'm supposed to be doing. And can I just tell you that every person needs that? It doesn't matter whether you're living anything, leading anything big. You need to do that, because for a few reasons. Number one, you are not in charge of your life. Your life is not your own. And if you have a master, like we say we do, then that master probably has orders for you. He probably has instruction for you about what he wants you to be focused on and doing, particularly this year. Now, don't get way ahead and think, oh, what do you mean? Like, he wants me to go do some big thing for the kingdom of God? No, maybe not. I can tell you that there's been certain years that the biggest resounding purpose that I was getting from God was, you need to grow in walking in love this year. And I'm like, yeah, I know that, but what about like the church? Is it? No, you need to grow in learning to walk in love this year. And that I go, well, that's, I know, but don't you have something bigger than that? No. And then gradually I begin to understand, no, because if you don't learn that, everything else you were going to do for me this year is going to get burned up anyway. Come on. Because if it ain't done for love, then he says it means nothing. It's like a clanging cymbal or a noisy gong. It doesn't mean anything. So he has vision and he has purpose for you. The question is, will you take time and pull aside and sit at the feet of Jesus? Or will you just bumble on through this year, you know, just like buzzing along with just doing this over here, busy with this, taking on this task, taking on this responsibility, and like you're on a treadmill, burning a ton of calories and a ton of energy, but you ain't going nowhere, right? That's what vision does. Vision clarifies and goes, no, we're getting off the treadmill, and we're going to actually get on the pavement, and we're going to head in a direction, and we're going to accomplish some things. I'm going to say that living that way is much, much better, right? And so we need a clear focus and a clear vision from God to know what our purpose for this year is. And please don't, as you hear this, again, don't think that it might be some huge, big thing. It could. Or it could be very, very simple. For example, if you're a parent, every year your children are getting older, and I guarantee you the Lord can help you see, hey, for your kids this year, this is really important as their dad or as their mom. This is really significant for this year of their life, and you need to be in tune. You need to be aware. And you go, that's it. Yeah, that can help you. That's that focus and that purpose that you can have. Or in your marriage, the Lord can begin to show you, hey, you've let this go on for a long time. If you don't address this year, this is going to be a problem. And I'm trying to save you from that problem. The Holy Spirit can help you see things that you would have never saw on your own. Amen. So don't get in your mind that I'm talking about some big thing for the kingdom. It's going to have specifically to do with you and what God wants to do in your life. Now, when I say vision, this is kind of a churchy term that we use a lot sometimes. And so all of us might not be familiar with hearing sermons about it. So if I was to explain what I think vision is, it's this. It is a picture that stays in front of you in order to produce right choices. That's all it is. You know, we've all maybe had that. Maybe it was a home that you liked and you put somewhere. Maybe you saved it, you know, in Pinterest, or back in the day before we had the internet, you'd put it on, you'd use Scotch tape and tape it on the refrigerator, right? Something that you could see all of the time. Maybe you wanted to get physically fit, and so you got a picture of what you wanted to look like. You never made it there, but you know, still you had that picture in front of you. This is what I want to look like. Maybe you had a vehicle you were trying to get, you know, and you get that picture of it and you go, I'm going after that. Why? Because it reminds you. I remember when I was a youth pastor, one time at a church, we wanted to develop a youth center for the youth, and I found a picture of what I wanted the youth center to look like, and I saved that as my screensaver on my computer, so every time I opened up my computer, I would see that picture of, hey, the youth center is really, really bad right now. I was going to use another word, but it might not be appropriate for church. Not, it wasn't a curse word or anything like that. It just not appropriate. But anyway, it didn't look good. And so I had this picture on the screensaver that would go, yeah, but this is the vision. This is where we're going. Well, guess what? We eventually did that. Actually, I think we surpassed the picture of what was on the screen. But it was a picture that stayed in front of me in order to produce right choices. Let's go back to the house. Let's say that right now you don't like where you live, and you and your spouse have a vision that you want to build a house one day. And so you've got a picture of that house. How's that going to produce right choices? Well, it's going to stop you from putting so much money on the credit card, because you're going to see that picture and you're going to go, I can have this little pleasure now that's going to set me and move me away from this vision, or I can use discipline now and I can move closer to that vision that we have in our heart. So a vision that God gives you, it will actually shape your choices. It will shape the way that you act. It will shape the things that you do, the things that you don't do. And when people lose that vision, the Bible says, anybody know? They cast off restraint. This is in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. What he is saying is, when you lose vision and you have no picture in front of you that is shaping your decisions, then you cast off restraint. And casting off restraint is the same thing as casting off boundaries or casting off your guardrails. I've got nothing that's keeping me unless I just live. I'm sloppy. I live to the, because I got nothing to live for. I don't have anything I'm pursuing after that would be the guardrails in me. This is why a lot of adults will sort of shape up when they become parents. right? Before they have a lot of people that were a little bit wild, a little bit crazy, a little bit out there doing it, and then they have children. A lot of times it'll whip them into shape, and all of a sudden they stop doing these things, they stop doing these destructive behaviors. Why? Because now they've got a living vision, a picture, a baby in front of them going, hey, I need you to live right, I need you to act right, because if you don't, I'm going to pay the price. The baby ain't saying that, but it's communicating that, right? We see that little baby and we go, I can't live, talk, act, think like this anymore. I have to shape up because of this baby now that I have. And so it forced a lot of us to grow up when we had children. Well, all it is, it's a vision. It's a picture that was put in front of us that said, I'm not going to act like that anymore because this is more important, right? And that's why you need a vision from God. Not the same thing as having a vision from yourself. Right, you can't just go home today and just write out five things unless the Holy Spirit's already been talking to you. And sometimes, you know, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and so you've been thinking about some of these things that maybe need to change. But the vision that I'm talking about is instruction and direction from God about, hey, this year, this is your focus. This is what I want you focusing on. Amen. When I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about a documentary that I watched one time about Usain Bolt, the Jamaican sprinter that I'm sure everybody's aware of who that is. He's considered to be the fastest man of all time. And I remember watching this documentary and realizing that he did not start out as a sprinter. He started out as a cricket player and a soccer player. And he wanted to be a professional cricket player. But all of his coaches that were around him, they started recognizing, yeah, you're not that great at cricket, and you're not that great at soccer, but man, you are fast. And you need to really spend your time focusing on developing that sprinting ability. Thank goodness he had coaches in his life to recognize that. But at first, he didn't want to do that. He liked cricket. He liked playing cricket. Sprinting wasn't as fun for him. But what were they doing? They were narrowing his focus. They were putting a picture in front of him and they were saying, hey, if you waste your time doing this and this and this, you're going to miss out on this main thing that really is like your calling, if we can think of it like that. And so he laid those other things aside so that he could focus on this one thing, which was just sprinting. And even within sprinting, he didn't sprint everything, but in the 100 meter and the 200 meter, he was the fastest person of all time. He ended up with 8 Olympic gold medals, 11 world championship gold medals, and he still holds the world record in the 100 meter and the 200 meter dash. Now, that's athletics, but what about for us? Are there things in our life this year that if you could have a direct conversation with God, like if you could sit down for a 1 hour coffee talk with God and you could physically hear him with your ear and just have a conversation with him, do you think there are things that he could tell you, hey, this year I want you to do a little less of this, a little less of that, and a little more of this? That's what vision is. It's saying, hey, these things are important for you this year. Let me, as your God, let me, as your master, set the priority for your year and what you need to be focused on and what you need to be doing. Because I can tell you from spending time fasting and praying that many times what I think my priorities should be for this year are not the same thing that God thinks my priorities should be. There are so many times that I have gone into prayer thinking this is what my year was going to look like. And after spending 21 days of fasting and praying and seeking God, I came out with the clearest focus of what I'm supposed to be doing. And by the way, for me, that time with God will direct my whole year. There are times in a year where I might get off. I might, hey, Pastor, can you get involved in this? Or there's this good thing or this outreach or this, or can you speak here? Can you do? There's all these things that come up. And sometimes I go back to the beginning of the year and I read what God has shown me. And I go, you know what? This is the vision. Yeah, but you should do this. You should be part of this. You know, there's a lot of good things out there, right? But I can't do them all and I'm not supposed to do them all. And so I need to hear from God what I'm supposed to be doing. You don't have to show your hand, but how many of you have wasted a lot of time doing some really good things that you were convinced you were supposed to be doing, but they turned out to be a complete waste of time and energy? I said you didn't have to raise your hands, but I can see by the look on some of y'all's face, you know what I'm talking about. We've all done that. And so I determined early on in the ministry, I don't want to waste time like that. Because the older I get, the more I realize how precious time is and how fast it goes by. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Everybody say, lay aside.
Lay aside.
He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, he's communicating exactly what we're talking about this morning. He's saying, you have a race to run. And there are weights that will slow you down if you don't lay them aside and set them down. You know, many of you know that, you know, different times in my life I've done backpacking. You know, you're on the trail for 3, 4, 5 nights and you've got backpacking and you bring all this stuff in with you. We've taken youth from our church on these backpacking trips. And years ago in the ministry, I took, you know, several groups of youth into Colorado and these big trails and things like that. And this is one of the things you have to do as an experienced backpacker is to help the new people that are coming along realize, hey, you can't carry that. I mean, you'll have kids not thinking anything about it. They're bringing like, Campbell soup cans and stuff and like weighing themselves down. And it's like your pack is 85 pounds. You only weigh 90. I mean, this isn't going to work. You have to lay aside some of these things. Yeah, but I want that. It tastes good. I know, but it's going to actually hurt you on the trail, and it's going to slow you down. So God will do this for us. And this is what the scripture is saying. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about all the people in heaven that have come before you and run this race, they're now watching you. It's your turn. It says, so since that's the reality of where we live, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You have a specific race. It's not my race, not anybody next to you. God's the only one that can answer that question for you about what you are supposed to be doing and focusing on this year. Now, verse 2, he tells us, as an example of this, let's look to Jesus. So he says, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you catch that? In verse 2, it says we're supposed to be looking to Jesus who modeled this approach. It says, how did he do the things that he did? How did he come to this earth when he was rich, became poor, come to this earth as a man, sacrifice, go through the pain, the suffering, die on the cross? How did he do all of that? Because of a vision that was set before him. That's what this says. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was the joy? Your salvation. That was the joy. The vision that produced behavior changes in Jesus was the joy that was set before him, which was you and my salvation. He saw, when he thought, remember in the garden when he's battling this, Father? He says, I'm battling this. He said, not my will, but your will be done. If there's any way for this cup to pass, what is he doing? He said, there's a part of me that really doesn't want to do this. This is going to be a lot of suffering and a lot of pain. And he said, but it was the joy or the vision that was set before him that pushed him on to make right choices and right actions. Amen? So vision has the ability to change our actions and change our behavior. This is why in the scriptures so many times we see where they would set up memorials. You would see where a special event happened and they would build like this rock altar so that every time they would see it, they would remember the act or the event that happened there. One of the best examples of this is in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11, where God himself did this. And this is interesting because you'd think, well, God doesn't forget anything, so why does he need a memorial? Well, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11, this is after the flood. Noah and his family have come off the ark, and the earth is about to be replenished. And he says, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud. That's talking about the rainbow. I've set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant. God created the rainbow as a way to remind himself, he says, of the covenant that he made with Noah. So it's a physical sign that, yes, when God sees the rainbow, it reminds him, you're a merciful God. You're a God, you're a covenant-keeping God that is withholding judgment on this earth for now. Even though that these people may deserve judgment, he sees the rainbow and he says, you know what? I'm going to show mercy and I'm going to show kindness because I made a covenant and I made a promise. I've set my bow in the cloud and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds, he says, verse 15, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. This is how vision works. See, I'm talking to you this morning about having a vision for your year. No, it's not a rainbow. But is there a picture in front of your face that as you're moving through this year will keep you targeted and keep you focused on what you're supposed to be doing for this year? And it may just be a few simple things. You know, in modern terms, people will refer to it as goals, right? They'll say, well, you need to have 3 goals you're going to accomplish or 5 goals or whatever. I'm not going to tell you how many you need to have or anything like that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a goal. But you need to have instructions from God about what you're supposed to be focusing on and doing this year. And the Holy Spirit can show you that. When you have that, it will affect your behavior and it will affect your choices. A lot of times, things that people are experiencing in their life is simply because they have a lack of vision or they have lost vision in their life. When I'm talking to somebody that is depressed, when I'm talking to someone that is overwhelmed and they're down and they're out, it's usually because they have completely lost vision. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. They don't know how what they're doing is making a difference. They've lost vision. Because when I talk to somebody that has vision, they are usually full of energy. You know why? Because vision produces energy. Vision produces excitement. Vision produces passion. When you have a true vision and you know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, this is what I'm supposed to be working on, it's what causes you to get out of bed every morning and go, man, I can't wait to get to that and get to work on this today because God's doing this and changing this and helping this. That's what vision can produce in you. But one of the things that hinders that, the more wealthy a society becomes, the more addicted to entertainment they become. And the more addicted to entertainment they become, the less vision they will have. See, these things are all interconnected. When we don't have vision and we don't have purpose, we will give ourselves to worthless pursuits. We will fill our time doing something else. And unintentionally, what ends up happening through that is our vision or our purpose becomes serving self. Because we don't have a God-given vision. So then the flesh kind of takes over and we go, well, I'm just gonna live and do what I want to do. I'm gonna feed the flesh. I'm gonna do what I enjoy doing. I'm gonna eat good food and I'm gonna watch TV and binge on Netflix and just have a good time. Well, you'll never get vision like that. And what will happen is you will end up living your life to serve self instead of serving God. And that's why fasting is so critical. Fasting shakes us out of that, right? Fasting shakes us out of that tendency to serve self, live for self. And it says, hey, wait a minute. God has a vision. God has a purpose for your life. And I need you to focus and pursue that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul explains that in the end times that this was actually going to become more and more and more of a problem. See, there was a time in the Old Testament where it says the Word of God, or the prophetic vision, the prophecies and the Word of God were very rare. And so when that was happened, it says people just did whatever they thought was right in their own eyes. They didn't have a direction saying, hey, don't do that. Don't live like that. Don't think like that. They didn't have that vision in front of them, and so they just did whatever they thought was right. Well, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3 that this problem is actually going to increase as we get closer to the end. And this is what he said. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. Now, it says a lot of things here, but that phrase has always stood out to me. Because if you look around, I believe that we are living in a time where people are lovers of self more than they have ever been before. And there is more opportunity and more avenues to be lovers of self than there ever has been. Right? Because we have so many ways to serve self at just the blink of an eye, whether that be the way we have access to food and desserts and sweets and alcohol and entertainment and internet and on and on and on. Most of it's just at the click of a button. I mean, you can have people delivering every little thing your heart desires right to your front door, and you never even have to get out of your pajamas. And we take advantage of that. But what can happen is we get in this mode where we are lovers of self and we are serving self and we are really exalting self. And this is what it says. In the last days, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. And then he goes back to this one again. He says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And all I want to say on that this morning is, can you see in your own life that sometimes those things are competing? Can you see that our love for pleasure sometimes is competing with our love for God? Because our love of comfort, our love of enjoying things, our love of pleasing ourselves sometimes is the opposite of what God is telling us to do. And all I wanted you to, the connection that I wanted you to make this morning is that when you have lost vision and you've lost the purpose of why you're living and what you're living for and what God is directing you to do, it's very easy. I feel like the default is to fall into this lover of pleasure and lover of self mentality. And the only thing that can break you out of that, if that's you, and I'm going to tell you, if you're in that and you're stuck in that and you're just, it's like a hamster wheel, you're stuck in that. Sometimes the very thing that is needed to break you out of that is a vision that is bigger than yourself. A vision, something to live for that is greater than just living and serving and pleasing self. And it can be hard to break out of that. The only thing that I have seen that can help people break out of that is when they get a God-inspired vision of, say, you know what? Following God and following that vision and accomplishing that goal is more important than me just living for myself. Amen? Amen. So when we get that vision from God, it produces energy. It produces action. It produces right choices. What are some signs that we've lost vision for our life? What are some signs, if we're kind of doing a self-evaluation, what are some signs that maybe we've lost God's purpose and God's vision for our life? Well, I've already given you one. One is you're just living for pleasure. You're living to serve self. What's another one? Boredom. You hear that a lot from people. You talk to people, they're just bored, idle, doing things that don't matter. That's another one. Worthless pursuits. Pursuing things that have no value. Pursuing things that are meaningless. Here's another one. Then this is different than worthless pursuits. Misguided pursuits. And I want to pause on that one for just a second, because misguided pursuits, meaning that a person is seeking and going after something that they're spinning their wheels doing, but it wasn't God that gave them the direction to do it. And I see this a lot in people when they don't have a God-given vision, but they're a very studious and effective person, and so they're always looking for something to put their hand to, and they always want to be active, and they always want to do something. It's like, I'm not going to just sit around and do nothing, so they end up doing something. But a lot of times that can just be a misguided pursuit, something that God didn't ask you to do, and you're just busy doing something else. You know, that's also not productive. That's also not helpful, because that thing a lot of times is a distraction from something that God actually has called you to do. And if you get too tied up doing this over here that God never asked you to do, then you're not going to have time to do the thing that God has called you to do. So, and a lot of times it can come in your life as a distraction as well. So some signs that we've lost vision is that we are living for self, living for pleasure, we're idle, or we have worthless or misguided pursuits in our life. This time of year is a time for evaluation. And you might be thinking, well, you know, we've only got 3 days left on the fast. Yeah, but a lot can happen in those 3 days. And besides, it doesn't have to end when the fast ends anyway, and it shouldn't end when the fast ends anyway, as far as pursuing God. But what I want to challenge you with is, I know there's only 3 days left on the fast, but I want to challenge you to use those days, use those time to seek God for the vision and the purpose of what He has for your life. You don't have to figure out the next 10 years, the next 20. You don't have to figure that out. All you've got to do is, God, what is it that You have for me this year? I would imagine that some of you, as you've been fasting and praying, you already have an inkling or an idea of what that is. Some of us probably already know areas of our marriage, family, children, church, spiritual life, physical life, that probably God's beginning has been talking to us about. But I want to encourage you to solidify those things, write them down, and keep them before you throughout the year. Let them be a guide. Let them be something that you reference that keeps us on track. Because when we have that God-given vision in front of our eyes, it will act like guardrails throughout the year that keep us making right choices and keep us on the right track. Amen? Amen. I want to leave you with this question. What in your life, what area in your life, what thing in your life that you're connected to needs an infusion of God-inspired vision? You know, I don't know every person's life and what they're going through and what things, but if you could take just a second and think, what area of my life could use a heaven-inspired vision for this area of my life, and how it would change and could change if I could get that direction from God? And whatever that is, I want you to take the next 3 days to pray over that, get up in the morning during your prayer time, and spend time seeking God on that, because I promise you this, one word, one phrase from God can, and I'm not saying this as a churchy catchphrase statement, okay? One word from God can completely revolutionize that area of your life for the whole year. I'll give you an example. If there's an area that you've been toiling, working, and you just, God, what do You want me to do? What am I supposed to do, God? What can help me with this? If God truly spoke this word to you, now you can't just do this on your own, but if God truly spoke to you, said, rest. If you just heard that one word over that area and you knew that was from God, and you knew that all you were supposed to do over that area was just rest, that can change the entire outcome of that situation. I've had it happen in my own life. I've seen it happen in others, lives, where God, basically, because what's tied up in that word is you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is stay in faith and let me work. Your job is to rest. Now, you don't get to decide that. Again, that needs to come from God. But if he gives you that and he shows you that, that one word, one phrase from God can change the outcome of many situations in our life. And it'll give you that vision that you go back to time and time again for the rest of your year. Amen?